Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929 ESPN. Dennis Fuller's producing the program for us. Glad that he is with us. As always, you can listen to us on 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio dial, you can stay up to date anytime, anywhere. You can stream on demand on the Odyssey app, free to download, free to listen. You can even listen on demand with rewind features and get your podcast and more right there on the Odyssey app. It is Monday, so that means my company, fresh off the plane, back from fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. He, of course, is the head coach, team director of Team Thad, of the Nike EYBL circuit. He's on Twitter, on X, at Dream Big Herd. Coach Herd, good day, sir.
Great day, great week, Jeff.
How was Vegas? Was it raining like it was here? We've had that fabulous, like, it started raining Saturday morning, basically like right when the Tiger game started, and it hasn't stopped since.
No, it wasn't raining. No, you know, it could get cold around this time, but it was nice weather. You know, palm trees, nice view.
It's dark at about 4:30.
Yeah. I kind of was teasing some of my Memphis people that was calling me complaining about the rain, and I was like, "Hey, FaceTime me. I'm not dealing with
this." Yeah,
it's
sunny out here. Yeah, the pool seems great. So, Herd was in Vegas. We may talk a little bit about that, but of course, let's talk about what we got coming up on the program. Big weekend, obviously, for the Tigers. They get the Arkansas State taste out of their mouths. We'll talk about it with Coach Herd. Grizzlies with kind of an uneven weekend. Friday night was as strong of a performance as they've had in a while, but then they got a case of the L.A. flu, which I think tends to happen to them. Also, LeBron returns to the lineup. Anthony Davis was exceptional as well, despite getting hurt throughout the game, gets back in there. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Also wanted to get Herd's thoughts on perhaps the theory that I think it's last week's AP poll. It's the top 12. I think the national champion always comes from the top 12. I think this year could maybe poke holes in that theory because there was one team that wasn't in the top 12, but I think we clearly see that if you take it a week later, they would have been in the top 12, and get his thoughts on that. Jason Munn's going to join us like he does each and every Monday on the program, get his thoughts. Tigers, of course, return back to the AP top 25. They cracked back in, I think, at 21. It's that weird reality where they're 8-2, Michigan State's 8-2, but Michigan State's ahead of them despite the head-to-head, but we digress. Then we will get into the list. lots of NFL to get to and more. Maybe talk some NFL. We got college football playoff week is here. At least the home games are here. The on-campus sites are this week. Maybe talk a little bit about that. Tell your story, and then we will get out of here. But, of course, it is Monday. And, Herd, I'll just start with some of the knee-jerk overreactions I had watching. We'll start with the Tigers. Saturday morning, they go to Clemson, knock off the Tigers in overtime. And I think my overreaction was, and I might have, I think I even tweeted it in real time, I do not know how the team that I was watching on Saturday got blown out by Arkansas State. It's one thing if you have the situation where, if you tell me Arkansas State did to Memphis what they did to UAB this weekend, which is game goes to overtime, they pull away, win the game, sure, fine. But the fact that they were just not competitive the entire game, it was a blowout. Like, you, I think they had a lead at 4-3, and then the Tigers never had a lead from there on. I had a tough time squaring that that was the same team that I was watching on Saturday.
Yeah, Jeff, that game was really good on Saturday. I actually, you know, I had to be up anyway, but I actually, it was 8 o'clock my time. Yes. I'm like, I need to.
It was, I mean, there's, it's still always weird when you see the game tip off at 10.
Yeah,
because you think like, is this a replay? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's AAU stuff,
yeah, exactly.
Right there. But yeah, it's difficult, man. I think that Arkansas State is one of them things. You know how, like, if you talk to good coaches and they do documentaries about great teams that, you know, one game here and there that they got their butt whooped. Some of them would say we watched it, but some of them would say, man, I just threw that one.
The old straight in the trash, film in the trash.
Yeah, I think that's what we got to do with Arkansas State, because I don't think we're ever going to be able to come up with the right explanation of why that game wasn't competitive and why Arkansas State had, I mean, I think Memphis people probably feel a little better from what I saw online because they beat UAB, but all in all, you know, that was just one that shouldn't have happened, and Memphis is definitely, you know, a top 15, top 20 team. And I don't know how that happened, but that on Saturday, to go to Little John like that, very impressive.
Very impressive. And I also want to give them credit because when they felt like the game was slipping away from them, it's kind of in that last 6 minutes or so, to fight back and to get that game to overtime, like I tip my cap on that one because I thought late down the stretch, it's like, man, they're just going to let a game get away that they basically controlled most of the game, and they're going to let this one get away, and you're going to kind of think, shoulda, coulda, woulda. But maybe another tip of the cap of saying, like, okay, this team is different. Even being down, I think it was 5 with a minute to go, is still force overtime. Like, I mean, that's a different level of toughness.
I mean, this team, too, Jeff, outside of the Arkansas State game, they make big confident shots late.
Totally agree. The moment never feels too big.
I mean, and from it felt like it always been Hunter and PJ, but I think Roger said he want more piece of this pie now because he took PJ's spot late that game. Yeah. Far as you know what I mean,
well, especially because Haggerty didn't have it. Like in terms of shooting, he didn't have it. He still contributed, but he did not have it. I totally agree.
Yeah, and it felt like, and I didn't know CJ was actually capable of, or Roger was capable of, you know, I knew he was good and he would make some shots. I didn't ever think that he would make them bigger shots like, you know, like we depend
for
on
sure.
Hunter. So I just think with that, man, you got a three-headed monster, it looks like, at that guard position. And when you got 2-3 high-level guards, man, at any level of basketball, you have a chance to be really good, and you have the chance of competing in every game, and I think the Tigers have that right now.
Tigers, I believe, that put them up to 30 in the net. They also have the weird resume of they're like five and one in quad one, 1-0 in quad four, and like 2-1 in quad three. They have like no quad two games. Like everything is like either quad one or quad four. So, but I mean, it speaks to what they're doing right now. Unlike last year, their wins are holding up, and the teams they've beaten have continued to be good. Like we'll get into it a little bit later, but it's like UConn hasn't lost since Maui. I don't know if everyone knows that, but they haven't lost since Maui. And also your boy Hurley, I've noticed, you know when your friends start going to therapy and you can tell like they're trying to like in real time do the things that they're taught in therapy and you're watching it in real life? Hurley's now doing that on the sideline. And I think I'm out on it. I think I'd rather just have crazy a-hole Hurley.
Yeah.
I think it's more entertaining. Like watching him try to like sarcastically hug the officials, not for me. Like give me just the unhinged psychopath. I think it's way more fun.
Yeah, you don't want the, you know, shout out the, you know, none against Walmart, but you don't want the great value.
No, I want full diesel. Yeah. I want name brand. Yeah, I don't care that even though I've worked in the food business and I know the same people that make the great value fries are the same people that would make the, you name the high-end fry that right. you want, the Alexa or the marketing fry, like where it's like Checkers or the branded fry. Spoiler alert, they're all made by a company called Lamb Wesson. How do I know that? I work for Lamb Wesson.
Yeah.
I don't care. I want the name brand.
For sure.
I want the big deal.
For sure. And that's a segment we may have to do for about 30, 40 minutes because I didn't at one point, because I didn't work in the food industry, but you know, I get blasted when I come home with a lot of great value, a lot of Kroger stuff. But it is some stuff that is different.
There are.
I ain't saying the fries, but some stuff with certain cereals or meats or other little stuff they try to do that you'd be like, this is a little different right here.
Yeah, there's also, I guess, how's the other way I would say it? Like, yeah, it's all coming from the same factory, but the good stuff ain't getting put in the good stuff's not getting put in the great value bag.
Yeah.
Like, they are setting, like, it's kind of the same thing. It's like, you know, if you, like, when you have these winemakers that will send, that will do deals with Costco, and they'll be like a Kirkland, well, they're not putting their A1.
Their best foot forward, right. Yeah. Because I'm going to say, Fruit Loops do taste a little better than Fruit O's. I ain't going to,
yeah.
A little better, you know.
I mean, they also have to, I'm sure to a certain degree, they're probably changing the recipe a little bit so that you do. Because in the end, like if they're just making great, putting the same thing in great value, you're just going to sit there and go, well, I'm just going to keep buying this.
For sure.
Like they
for
do
sure.
have to incentivize you to buy the more expensive one.
For sure.
So instead of getting 4 cents on the dollar, they're getting 7 cents on the dollar.
For sure. But yeah. No, Memphis, and like you said with UConn is number 11 in the nation, which is a borderline top 10 team that Memphis beat. You got Michigan State. I know some people are kind of mad because they got the same record that we're not in front of Michigan State. For me, I get the complaints, but 20 and 21 is almost the same thing to me, so I'm not.
Yeah, and also, like, you look at the voting, like, it'd be different if, that's one of those ones where it's like they have to rank 25 teams, and it would be different if we're coming up with one person going, like, if the committee, if you use the College Football Playoff Committee did this, Memphis would be ahead of Michigan State. But because everyone throughout the country is voting, like some people might have Memphis 17 and Michigan State not on the ballot, or some might have Michigan State at 13 and Memphis at 20. Mm-hmm. And so it's more of like, it's kind of a coincidence that it winds up being that they're that close. I'm just not going to get bent out of shape over it in December.
Yeah, because it's one spot.
Correct.
Too. It ain't like they're 12 and we got the same record. Now, you also have to look at this too. And I don't think they have done an official way of telling us how to do it like the 12 playoff do. But just looking at the history of it, Jeff, no matter what the head-to-head is, it always still go by the week before. Yeah. Memphis was not ranked the week before. They were ranked, you know what I'm saying? So it still go by that.
No, I'm with you.
Extent. Yeah.
They
should have been ranked, but I'm just saying.
And I guess I would have kept them ranked. I'm also can acknowledge that Arkansas State loss is really bad.
Yeah, is it?
And now I do think though, to your point, because we kind of talked about this on Monday, what do you do after a loss like that? And the problem that the Tigers have is we weren't going to see them for 5-6 days.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But good coaches don't waste a loss.
Mm-hmm.
They did not waste the Arkansas State loss.
Not at all. They went and you know to. Even with their ranking, John, as mad as we, you know, I ain't going to say I'm not really mad at it, but as a Tiger guy or a Memphian, one thing.
We don't have to work that hard as Memphians to find slights. We seem to be elite at finding slights.
Hey, We're elite because, like you say, anytime I'm watching a game and it go to commercial, we're doing great. Soon as the first things happen, the conversation changed real quick with the Memphis. But one thing, like when we were talking about football, my Hurricanes and Alabama, I felt like, okay, well, their losses was worse than ours. Michigan State could say that too, like even though it's here, they're like, oh, Memphis got better wins. You know, I'm just saying if they wanted to complain or fuss about it, they could say, well,
we've lost to Kansas.
Yeah, we would not have a loss this bad for the. They could put it out there like, I don't think we have a loss like this the whole year. So, you know, teach his own. But I think Memphis is a better. I think Memphis is a top 15, 20 team. But what I will tell everybody is if you at that 16 slot, don't lose. Because even Clemson, they'd move them to 25. It's like whoever loses at that 16 spot, that they want to kick you out of it.
Well,
because
it's almost like. It's almost like they're defining that spot as the I don't believe you, but your record says what it is. It's kind of like when you would see the playoff committee when they would have like Indiana at like 5 or 6 and they couldn't wait till they lost to like drop them down to like 11 or 12. It's kind of like that's what 16 has become. It's like, well, your record kind of says you're good, but we're not really sure. And as soon as they lose, just straight down out of it.
Because you could almost be 20 and go to 24, but there's 16 slot, Jeff. Yeah. I'd rather stay out of there.
I mean, it's like literally to your point, Purdue loses to, was it Arkansas?
Purdue that was because they were saying that was Arkansas' best win of the year, Jeff Goodman and them. Yes.
No, A&M. A&M. They lost to A&M. They lost to A&M in Indianapolis.
Okay.
Arkansas beat Michigan. We were mixing our Big Ten SEC. So they lose to A&M in Indianapolis, drop 5 spots down to 16. Like that's the drop spot. Like that's the drop zone. Drop them to 16, and they can't wait to drop you again.
Yeah,
That's like your last. Like that's your warning of hey, you better not lose again.
Yeah, if you had a job, that's almost the final write up right there.
Yeah, this is your Bobby Knight like zero tolerance zone. Like you better not choke another kid.
Hey, at 16, you got to be so strategic.
Yeah.
Or how your schedule go. It's almost like, Jeff, I don't know when we were younger and worked different jobs, and they allow you to do overtime.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, I had to learn this because at first I'm like, oh, overtime made more money. But you know, it gets to a point where you max out at overtime.
And they'll dock you back down to.
Yeah, it don't make sense that you working it no more. That's how I feel like the 60. You have to really careful.
It's like guys, I always used to laugh when guys are like in medical sales and you don't want to go, like you obviously want to get to your number that gets you the bonus, but you also don't want to crush it so badly that that's your new benchmark for the next year. So it's like, you know, if like you wind up having a really good year, you don't want that to be the number that you're compared to because you'll never get your bonus again. So it really is kind of figuring out just exactly what is the right amount that I sell enough that I don't get yelled at home, but also that I'm not going to have to work like, I don't know, 100 hours a week next year.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like that move.
For sure.
Let's see. Purdue has Auburn this week, too.
Really?
Oh, man. Anything else you want to talk about Tiger-wise? I mean, obviously, we have Munns coming up next, so it's not like we're going to be just ignoring them. But anything else that stood out to you on Saturday?
I just think, man, it was a really good win for the program, for the city, for that coaching staff, just for all those players. It was just a really good win. And, Jeff, I told you this last week. I know your credit history is what your credit history and I think it's fair to ask questions. But I was saying I didn't think that when they were saying, is it similar to last year? You remember, I kept saying, I thought it was too early for that, and I didn't think that. You know what I mean? Because, one, you had big games coming back up. It wasn't just a bunch of until we get into conference play. And I think they answered the bell. And actually, Jeff, I think he got a chance. I said this last year when he beat Tony Bennett right by 20 or was up by 20 at one point right after.
I think it finished
close to 20. I said that was the best win because, you know, Tony's Hall of Famer. I think he's a top 5-10. I thought that was the best stretch of
Penn. They won by 23.
23, okay. I thought that was the best stretch of Penn coaching career. If you go undefeated with this stretch, now you're doing on the road, Clemson, Virginia, come here, Ole Miss and Mississippi State has been top 25 all year. Mississippi State flirting with 25. Ole Miss is always at like 17 or something today, 19 maybe.
So right now you have, by the way, we got the coaches poll out. Tigers at 22. So 21 in the AP, 22 at coaches. Ole Miss is at 17 right now, and did State? Yeah, so State.
They won. I think they just got kicked out because they didn't play no big
right
competition. They played
because they're right now they're first receiving votes in the AP, and then they're 25th in the coaches.
So they still. So yeah. So I think if you win out these next three games, that's going to be remarkable, and I think Memphis have almost. Top five got the best resume if you win out the next three games.
Oh, I mean, right now, when you look at the essentially the stat that you're talking about that they're actually going to quantify this year is basically wins over bubble. And basically it's like how good are your wins that you have and how many of them do you have? I think they're third in the nation. So you're spot on. There's apparently two teams that have more wins that are of that quality than Memphis. And yeah. So I guess my only concern is, and I'm with you. I don't think like it's like last year, and it's always this weird reality in Tiger basketball where I feel like I don't ride the waves quite like maybe the fan base does. Like I don't normally get too high when they have a big win, and I don't get too low. I am very concerned that it's almost like if this team's playing Auburn, Alabama, UConn, Michigan State, Michigan. Like I want to take them every single time. I worry about when this team plays UAB. I worry about when this team plays Temple, when this team plays UTSA. Because I think Penny has shown that he has a tendency of the boys always show up in a big game. If it's a team that he didn't ever really play and didn't really ever have a ton of history with, he doesn't really care.
And
I think about it, even when Cincinnati wasn't good, they always showed up against Cincinnati. Why? Sure. That was a big game to him. Game to him.
For sure. I think he do care. I just think like we always talk about and it's unexcusable at this point. Sometimes it's harder to get kids up for games.
No, and I think it's honestly why I think you can make an argument if this team ends up being really good, you know this. I think you could explain this better than I can. It's getting really difficult to be an AAC team and recruit at a high level. Even if you have, let's say you have a competitive budget, it's really hard because then you wind up either overpaying for kids just to get them to come there. Because if it's all things being equal, and more times than not, wouldn't you agree, on most players, the number between teams fighting for recruits, the number usually gets pretty much, everyone kind of gets to the number, and then they wind up picking from there. But if you're in the AAC, it's almost like, all right, you kind of have to like sweeten the offer to make them go to the AAC because everyone's sitting there going like, well, I'd rather play in the SEC right now. I'd rather play in the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. Like it's getting harder and harder and harder to commit just solely based on the league. Like once upon a time, Memphis did not have to be in as good of a league as they do now. Now I feel like that gets used against them way more frequently in recruiting.
No, for sure. I've been around it. You know, you had your Cal days, but since Penny came around, it has been, like you say, magnified now with NIL and things of that nature. But this is where Penny can – you always help your case with. If he can make a deep run in a tournament,
yeah.
It won't matter as much because it'll show like – well, we're different from
our
league.
You have to do what Gonzaga did, which is you can't just be good. Like, at a certain point, you're going to have to get to the Final Four. You're going to have to get to the Elite Eight. You're going to have to, like, show to where then, yeah, you can dominate the league. But the other concern that I have now is, like, I don't think this is coincidence that the SEC schools are doing what they're doing in basketball now. Because they, at a certain point, they all had to do something with the money.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, everyone's like, hey, man, you can't punt on basketball anymore. And middle-of-the-pack SEC schools like have $5 million rosters.
No, SEC, what is going to be? It got the money.
Like, I don't think it's coincidence. Like, when you look at, man, the SEC's kicking ass. Like, huh, imagine that. It's not because all of a sudden they started caring about basketball or figuring out, man, this is, it's like, no, they have the best rosters because they had to do something with the money.
No, for sure. Now, another thing they got, I don't know if you paid attention, and it's been going on about 5 years or so, they have been getting – and I don't think years from that, they've been getting really good high-level coaches, too.
Oh, I think that definitely was a Sankey thing. When they started getting years where there would only be like three or four bids, they started turning that around. Like, Bruce Pearl getting hired at Auburn was a big deal.
Rick Barnes.
Yeah, Rick Barnes at Tennessee. Musselman at Arkansas. Yeah,
like, Nate Oakes.
Yes, I mean, like, yes, I totally agree. I mean, now you look at...
what's my guy at Texas A&M?
Buzz.
Buzz. It's a lot of high-level coaches in the SEC right now. Vandy actually got a pretty good coach. Don't nobody know about it. Vandy is playing good ball right now. Florida is number nine. They got, you remember the mid-major?
They have Golden from USF.
You got Chris Beard and the guy at Mississippi State are Chris big Jansen. Time. Yeah, you know, so it ain't too many teams that don't got. Georgia got Mike White. Like, yep. It's going down now. Like.
No, I mean, it's like there's now kind of this. If you're a college coach, like it's kind of gotten to like football. It's like if an SEC job comes open, you want an SEC job simply because it's like, well, it's going to pay and the roster's going to be there.
No, for sure. In basketball, Texas and Oklahoma in the lead now, so it's pretty good. Yeah. And Missouri win is looking. I was with their coaches
over the weekend. It's aging pretty nicely.
Yeah, I was with their coaches over the weekend in Vegas because they got some kids that was committed play. But I even said when they played, they're like, Missouri actually got a pretty good budget and roster. I mean, the roster is good, but Missouri is a school that sneakily has money too, like most SEC schools.
Yeah, the only problem I ever had with Missouri is they used to think like, Missouri operated like they were Kentucky when you're like, they have like one Elite Eight. Yeah. But like no, but to your point, they care about basketball.
Yeah, they do.
Like it's a huge, it's a good basketball job. It's just not as good as maybe they think it is.
No, no. And we didn't skip over Calipari, Arkansas.
Yeah, it's Arkansas. All right, let's get into some Grizzlies. All right, here's my overreaction from the weekend. So they win at home. They avoid the Nets sweep. And we had to schedule them again. We'll get to see Dennis Schroeder again, so I know everybody's looking forward to that. Heard they get the LA flu. My new overreaction is they got to make LA day trips, fly in, fly out. I don't think they can handle it. I don't know where their spots are. I'm sure they were not the same spots that I had in college. It's just every single time, man. You like look at it. The first quarter, they scored 20 points. Everyone still looks like we've all seen that look of like, oh, their legs don't work.
Yeah.
The other thing is, I'll give him credit. Bron took the game seriously. He comes back. AD played like he always does against the Grizzlies, which is, he certainly seems to care about that game. Crowd was into it. It was a bad spot for the Grizzlies to play the Lakers. They still spent the entire first half hungover.
I mean, Jeff, I know our viewers, we have a lot of great, listeners. Man, L.A. is definitely a good city that people try to take advantage of it when they...
Do we have to give the Grizzlies... And honestly, it's the Grizzlies with Ja. Do we have to start, like, tracking like we did with Harden? Like, when they go to Miami. It's like, you start doing the math of, like, there's, like, great cities, and it's like...
Then he lived...
But not his best games.
Then he lived in Houston at one point.
Yeah, and even more so.
Like I said, LA guys, what time was the game, though?
So it was 6:30 Pacific time, 8:30 our time.
So not too bad. It wasn't like a Christmas Day game.
No, it wasn't like you went out that night and then had to come back. But I don't know, man. Like, this is just, like, it's one of those cities, they always just look like crap.
Yeah, it's a fun city. Speaking of them early games, Jeff, when we were younger, not to keep you, I know me and you, we're getting up there a little bit now. It used to be more like 12 and 1 o'clock games, it felt like, on NBC and CBS for the NBA on Saturdays.
I think they're refusing to – they don't – unless they have to. Yes, so, I mean, it used to be like – and you'll see this once football ends. There'll be the ABC, like, 12:30 game.
Yeah, okay, 12 and 1.
Then, like, the 2:30 game.
Because them the ones – I'm scared of them the ones that if you go watch documentaries, like, from Lou Williams and Allen Iverson, like – they wasn't ready that quick after.
No. When you've let Magic City know your number. Yeah. It's not like that, but I just, man, like, it's just, we just fly in, fly out for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't think this year, unless some magic happens, I don't think this year Lakers.
This is the first time
in a series, though.
This is the first time also that I had the, I'm a little worried about this trip, and you were like I was right. Like, for the most part on the road games, they showed up.
No.
This was just like the, eh, it was thrown in at the end of the day. And then LeBron obviously cared. AD cared. That's the other thing. They're kind of, the Lakers are kind of doing that thing of like, we don't care about the Grizzlies, but it's like, you sure seem to look like you do.
Yeah. You, for some reason,
yeah.
it looks it a little more intense.
It always seems to come out a little different. All right, then the other thing that I'm a little bit worried about, and I'm willing to set it to the side, but because it was starting to look better, I'm worried about the Dez shooting thing. I think he's hurt.
Mm.
It's, I mean, we know it's the oblique and whatnot, but it's like, it just doesn't look right.
Where, when you say he's still hurt?
He's playing. And mm-hmm. so, like, I think what it is they've gotten the go-ahead of, because, I mean, he basically took a month off. I think basically what they said is, like, it's going to hurt, but there's, like, you can't do anything to make it worse. But it's, you're probably just going to have to learn to deal with it. And I just, man, that's just like one of those injuries where it's like, your oblique has to be involved every time you shoot it. I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, you're rising up and, like, it just doesn't look right. Like, you know, like, when you see somebody, like, you can kind of hear him grunting through the screen, even if you can't hear it. Like, you can just feel that he's grunting. That's how I feel when he shoots the basketball.
Yeah. And we really need him to make that. Really need him for spacing the court and other things like that for Ja to do what he do. So I hadn't realized that he was still that hurt, you know, because, like, you know, I've been traveling, so I didn't see that game as much last night. But
you didn't miss much.
Yeah, it seemed like it. Yeah, but no, they definitely going to need Dez. So you're not overreacting on that. I just hope it ain't as serious and it get adjusted quickly.
Yeah, and honestly, it was starting to look better. I'll just chalk it up to hopefully last night was just one of those nights. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's get back into Tiger basketball. We'll discuss it with Jason Munns. Before we do that, I want to remind you that you can add some sparkle to the holidays with Robert Irwin Jewelers. Whether you're celebrating one of life's biggest milestones, like an engagement, or simply making the holidays unforgettable, Robert Irwin Jewelers has the perfect gift for your loved ones. Some of the top holiday picks include diamond earrings. Every woman needs a pair of diamond studs. They're like the little black dress of jewelry. You can see a pair that start at 0.5 carat. Total weight of diamond studs starting at just $399. Also, check out the tennis bracelets and the diamond necklaces. Always a big hit around Christmas time. Also, it's a big season for engagements. And you can go to Robert Irwin Jewelers and choose from their handcrafted engagement rings in unique, trendy, and fashion-forward styles that she'll adore. Or you can do what I did, which is design a custom never-worn engagement ring. It's nowhere near as daunting as it sounds. Like, I'm not a hero. I literally went in with a picture that my wife basically was like, I want this. Went in and pictured that. Howie and his magical team made it come together. Also, check out the Above Love Star Diamond. It's an extraordinary lab-grown diamond featuring 100 facets and a hidden star in the center for an unmatched sparkle. It's available in engagement rings, earrings, and pendants, and each comes with a diamond viewing scope so you can see the star for yourself. You can shop now on Sundays, now through Christmas. Also, shop now, pay later, 12 months interest-free financing, or you can take up to 60 months to pay at a low APR. Visit any of the 5 locations, or you can shop online at rijewelers.com. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, Robert Irwin Jewelers. When we come back, Jason Munns joins us next, right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and rewatch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Jason Munns is the Tiger basketball beat writer for The Commercial Appeal. On Twitter, on X, at Munsley. Munns, what are you listening to?
Everything's going to be cool this Christmas, Jeffrey. This is the Eels.
The Eels?
Going to be cool this Christmas, yeah.
What was the... Kind of has... This band feels like a band from Jersey that worshipped Bruce Springsteen.
I mean, maybe the Bruce Springsteen part.
Who's the 59 Sound. What was that band's name?
That's, oh gosh, it's Fallon.
Yeah.
Last name.
The Gaslight Anthem.
Yes, Gaslight
Anthem. Yeah, they have kind of that same vibe.
Yeah, well, this is a little bit further, this goes further back. This, you've probably heard some of their songs, you just don't know it's them. I don't know. I can't think of any off the top of my head, but.
Merry Christmas. You're in the spirit.
Yes, exactly. All I can think about right now is Christmas songs.
Well, when you think about that Tiger win on Saturday, what comes to mind?
Resiliency, short memory. That is what it showed to me, is that this team is, like, they took that. That was a serious hit they took last week. Sunday against Arkansas State.
Sunday turnaround Monday morning or whatever. Saturday morning.
Yeah, like that was a really, really, really solid body blow. And that it didn't matter.
I almost wonder, have you thought about it this way? I almost wonder, and I haven't talked about it with Herd, but
Do you think that loss dropping them out of the top 25 kind of like rattled their cage? Like, we can even talk about whether or not it should or shouldn't have, because we said like that was a pretty significant drop. But I almost wonder if it knocking them out kind of like woke them up at a level that even more so than just the loss did.
It could have. I mean, that's one of the talking points throughout the whole week was, you know, like Penny would say things like, now they know. You know, they didn't quite understand it before. Some of them may have. Nick Jourdain certainly would understand it. What happens when Memphis loses a game to a team it's not supposed to lose to? Kobe Rogers, PJ Haggerty, you know, guys who were in the American, who spent time in the American, maybe they'll understand it. Maybe they kind of knew it, sort of tangentially. But from an overall perspective, like that, again, that was one of the things that Penny said a number of times last week was now they know, now they get it. Now they understand exactly how important it is for Memphis to just never get caught slipping. And so, yeah, I could buy that. I could certainly buy that it woke them up. And maybe that's what you saw so early in the morning on Saturday at Little John Coliseum was a very alert and aware and, you know, wide-eyed team that knew exactly what it had to do to make, I mean, this is a whole other discussion, but like, did it make up for the loss? I
thought so. Like, metrically, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, loss at home, like, because that, it also does help that Arkansas State seems to be finding some form.
Sure.
And, yeah. Like, because I think they're all the way up to, like, 106 in KenPom. So, if you can at least get that as, like, a top 100 loss, not that bad. But, like, when you go on the road and you win, what, technically by... when they win by 5, and I think metrically they were 7-point dogs, like that's a pretty big swing there.
Yeah.
Especially on the road.
It is. Yeah, it is. And yeah, true road game, not just away.
Yeah, exactly.
From home.
Yeah.
True road victory. And we can, you know, I mean, not that this matters. It really doesn't matter, but it wasn't the same atmosphere that it was for Clemson.
No, you had Kids Day, which I think that was helpful.
Oh, I agree. I mean, well, what was so interesting was, I don't know that it was Kids Day. Maybe there was, like, some sort of just, like...
Impromptu Kids Day.
Yeah, because when the game started, the student section was empty.
Yeah.
The main student section, on like, right courtside was completely empty. And at some point, early on in the game, there was somebody somewhere who... recognized this is not the best look and it's not helping us, so they ushered
let's get some people down front.
Yeah, like they ushered whatever kids they could find, and I mean there were quite a few of them, and it was full by, you know, midway through the first half, and so that was pretty cool. But it wasn't the quote-unquote, I think they advertised the Kentucky game as Grit After Dark.
Yeah.
And it was certainly like, you know, if you watch that game, it was a big time amped up atmosphere. This was not that. It was about three quarters full. I was there. It was about three quarters full, and there was not. It wasn't buzzing. We'll just put it that way. But again, as I said before, that truly doesn't matter. It was a true road win against a really, really good team that hadn't lost at home since earlier this February this year. And that team is not going anywhere. Clemson's going to be a really good team by the end of the year. They're more than likely going to be an NCAA tournament team. They got four guys back from a team that went to the Elite Eight last year, and so you know.
Like, by the way, we need to look this up. Was that the most number of hunters on the floor in game history?
Maybe and even throw it. I mean, I think the announcers on TV were talking about Travis Hunter.
Yeah,
because he won the
Heisman.
That's true. Point.
It was a big Saturday for hunters.
Yeah, like yeah. Where is Travis Hunter from? Is he from South Carolina?
No, I thought he's from Florida, right?
Yeah, right. It would have been.
Heard, you can go on there. Heard's with us. I thought he's from like. I thought he because he's Orlando, maybe.
He's from Florida.
Florida.
No, he's from Georgia.
Georgia. I would say Georgia or Florida. I've been hearing some Georgia stuff lately too, but I thought he originally because Florida State thought they was getting him before Deion.
Well, I just didn't know if he was IMG kid.
I just know that when Kari Thompson, who used to be the high school sports reporter at Commercial Appeal,
All right, we're all right. So he's from West Palm, but moved to Sewanee, Georgia, in eighth grade.
Yeah, Kari Thompson was the Jackson State beat writer when Deion was the coach of Jackson State, and we sent him to Georgia to go interview Travis Hunter, like just to go find him and interview him, and he never did. So that's why Georgia was fresh on my mind there.
Yeah, but like, so the Tigers have two because there was Chase Hunter, Dylan Hunter, and then obviously you had Tyrese. Why did I think there was a fourth?
Yeah, I don't think there was.
No, you're right. I think what happens is we have multiple PJs. there was just a lot of redundancy. I felt like.
Yep, they were both Tigers. And that was
confusing another... too. Like the Tigers take the lead. It's like, and like I always feel bad for announcers in that situation because like, what are you supposed to say? Like, you know, like Clemson takes the leader. Memphis take. You just have to sit there and go that way and be repetitive that way, I guess.
Well, I even remarked to somebody during the game because it was jarring to me how many fans, because like the media section was way up in the stands, and it was every 2 seconds, "Go Tigers, go Tigers, go Tigers," and it was like, I feel like they should have
which ones
at Clemson? Yeah, somebody at Clemson should have probably said, "Hey, just for this game, don't say go Tigers, say go Clemson." But it was a lot of redundancy.
Isn't Jackson State the Tigers too?
They are.
Yeah.
They are.
So
hey, look
a lot
at that.
Of symmetry with the Hunter and Tigers on Saturday.
And all week last week, Penny, another major talking point last week was how Memphis had to get back to the Hunter mindset. They became the hunted, and they had to get back to that Hunter mindset. And boy, did they ever!
When you look at this stretch, because they obviously pick off the game that I think they were the least likely to win.
I think that's fair.
When you look at this 4-game stretch, is are we now at the point where like anything other than like 3-1 is kind of disappointing?
I don't know if I'd go that. I don't know disappointing. I don't know that I'd say that. I would say you could look at it though as a missed opportunity. If Memphis doesn't at least win two of its next three, because here's my thing. Virginia, listen, I know, I get it. Like they're one of the worst offenses in the country, scoring wise.
Well, that's nice.
And all that's what, yeah. I get that they're down, and you know, everything that's gone on with their coaching situation and so on. But you're still on the road, and you're still like it is still a power team that.
Their four losses are a little misleading, too. Like, their four losses are Tennessee, St. John's, Florida, and SMU.
SMU, right.
All potentially top 50 teams.
Yes. So, now, I think in most of those games they got blown out. So there is that. Their best win is against Villanova. I'm not going to sit here and be like, that's a gimme.
Just go ahead and chalk that one up.
Yeah. I mean, like, they're not good. They're down. You beat them last year on your home floor, and they're probably worse this year. But still, you know, like, there is no given in college basketball if the Arkansas State game proved anything. And then you got Mississippi State, who's sitting just outside the top 25, coming in on the 21st. And then 3 days after Christmas, after your Christmas break, you welcome Ole Miss, who I think is what, 16 or 17 in the AP poll.
16 in the coaches, 17 in the AP. We finally got your boys from Gannett's poll today. State's 25 in the USA Today poll. They're first out in the coaches. They're 25th in the USA Today poll. They're first out in the AP poll.
Yeah, and I think both of them are, at the very least,
top 25 in the net and maybe even top 20 or top 15 for Ole Miss. So now I say that I wouldn't say it would be disappointing if you didn't win two of the next three, but it, I stand by that it would be, you could feel free to look at it as a missed opportunity, but
you are correct. Ole Miss is 22 in the net, State's 24.
Okay.
So, and Memphis is at 30. Also, Missouri at 29. Shout out to the other Tigers.
Yeah. I mean, Missouri, like, let's keep tabs on those guys and mm-hmm. see how far that takes you. But as Gary Parrish mentioned on his show earlier today, you can certainly sit here now that you did get that Clemson win. Nobody's going to, like, you can now be like, hey, is 4-0 on the table of this four-game stretch? Absolutely it is. You get Ole Miss at home. You get Mississippi State at home, and Virginia's not as good as they normally are. And if that happens, Memphis is going to be 11-2 going into conference play.
Again.
And Again, 11-2 going into conference play. Sorry, I was a little slow.
Yeah.
11-2 going into conference play, and they're already favored. Like, if there's another point Gary made earlier today, if you look at KenPom, which projects favorites and underdogs, Memphis is the favorite for the rest of the season. The favorite for the rest of the season in every game. So, boy, isn't that fun to sort of, like,
see, like, the odds, like, seeing a 29-2. Now,
I mean, isn't that fun to think about?
Mark and I were talking on Saturday, CV buy or sell. I think that they get two of the next three.
Okay.
And then we were kind of projecting. It's 18 conference games, right?
That's right.
We were thinking,
so
like,
10-3. You're saying 10-3 going into
10-3, and I was saying 2.5 over under would be 2.5 conference games. So let's even just say 3, and so then you're sitting at, that puts you what, 25-6, and yep. What you're looking at probably somewhere between a 6-8 seed.
5-6. Really? You don't think they could sneak
this? This is that question of how much are they going to, like, how much are they going to get? Like, if they roll through conference play and they go like 17-1, well, then all of a sudden, like, I think top four seeds on the table. I just think it's going to be really hard to do that.
Yeah. I mean, certainly if you don't win the next three, and you lose more than one conference game. Yeah,
the problem with the conference is, even if you intellectually know, man, it's really hard to just go undefeated or just lose once or twice in the league.
Right.
Yep. The problem is their league gets played on paper, and on paper their league is going to be worse than ever.
But what if, so, you know, we talk about this every single year, and it feels like we talk about it a lot every single year about the net. And how there are really no opportunities to make up ground in the net come conference play for Memphis, especially this year when the favorite to win the league might be one of the worst net teams in the league going into league play, UAB. Shout out to them with a 27-point lead with 16.5 minutes to go at home, losing by 9 in overtime mm-hmm. to the same Arkansas State team that came in here and beat Memphis at FedEx Forum. Like, what if, though, Memphis does win 16 games, 17 games, and they win 8 or 10 of them by 15 or 20-plus? And then, and they kind of game the net, you know, like, so there's a lot of talk every year about teams that game the net by scheduling cupcakes and beating them by 30 plus, 20, 25, 30 plus. What if Memphis does that this year? Like, is it possible that they,
the problem is on some of those games, that some of those games, if they win them by 15, they might be giving ground.
Yeah, I know. Don't get me wrong. It's a weird, weird.
Like, you have to really do what Kelvin does, which is, like, when you're favored by 28, you got to beat him by 50.
Yeah, I know. It's a very, very tricky deal, especially this year. But hey, I mean,
honestly, that might not be the wrong mindset, though. Like, right. Hey, this is, you know what I mean? Like,
because Heard and I've talked about this. It's really tough to convince kids that the Arkansas States, the South Floridas, the Rices, the UTSAs, it's really hard to talk them into this game matters. Maybe the psychological approach is go see how bad you can beat them.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, and I think that's going to be like that. I can't sit here and say that if Memphis did what I said did a minute ago, go win 10 or 12 of your conference games by a bunch of points, that they couldn't get a 4 seed. I mean, you got to keep this in mind too, and I know this will change, but as we sit here today in almost late December, Memphis is number one in KPI.
Yep.
Number three in wins above bubble. Number seven in strength of record, or fourth in strength of record, or something like that. It's like their metrics are looking really, really, really good. I tweeted this earlier today. There are two teams in the country, two teams that have more than three quad one wins. One is Auburn, number two in the country. The other is Memphis. There's not even another team in the country that has even four quad one wins, much less five. And Memphis is one of them. So,
no, this is though, because I'm with you on all this. This is kind of where they end up getting screwed. It's like their numbers kind of are what they are in about, wait, when is the Ole Miss game? 2 weeks?
December 28th.
So it's almost like your resume is kind of what it is then, and then your resume just becomes avoiding, you know, landmines left and right, whereas everyone else starts to get credit for playing each other.
Yeah, oh yeah, and especially in the SEC this year. But no, you're 100% right. Like Memphis could very well finish non-conference play with five, six, or seven quad one victories.
Yes,
and they won't get another quad one opportunity the rest of the year. And then some of these teams that have three quad one wins right now could have five, six, or seven quad one victories within the next 2 weeks after, you know, once conference play starts. So, and, you know, much less by the end of the season, where some teams might have 12 quad one wins and they only have three right now. So yes, it's going to even out. It's going to even out. Don't get me wrong. But, I don't know.
Well, like, to your point, right now, Auburn is the number one net team with five quad one wins.
Mm-hmm.
They're 5-1 in quad one. Memphis is 5-1 in quad one. It's like Memphis could potentially finish with what? I guess conceivably, let's give Virginia the benefit of the doubt and say, because that's a road game, what? Then it has to be top 75. Is that right?
Oh, I don't have it in front of me. I forget what it is. You mean to be a quad one?
Yeah.
Top 75.
So, like, Memphis, it's possible they could have three quad one games. Like, these four games in a row could be quad one, and it's entirely possible that's all they get the rest of the season.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket, and if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.